special music tonight at certain times and preaching tonight. So we just kind of got it all intermixed and spread it, so we'll just carry on.
So, Stephen, if you'll go ahead and get ready. Stephen's going to play our offertory for us. So we're going to sing the song, we'll do our offertory. Then we'll have some special singing, and then we'll start with our preacher voice. So, pardon?
Amen. Stephen asked, he said, can I play and preach? I said, who are you, Mark Rogers? You know what? Who is this kid? Awesome. Good job, man. Wonderful. Amen. At least you can do it in front of people that like you, you know. That's the nice thing. Go to these piano recitals. You don't know who any of those people are, you know. Who are those people? Well, praise the Lord. We're going to try to go from the smallest to the tallest, I think, tonight. And so I got Sam Woods. Are you going? The other Mr. Page, you're going to go too, right? So I'm going to have you go right after Sam, okay? Sounds good? So you'll be next. Won't be long. I know that. Amen. Won't be long. Sammy, are you ready to go? You want to hold the handheld mic? Okay. I'm going to have you hold this. I'm going to have you hold this one, okay?
Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even though gone for Christ's sake. Ask forgiven you. Kindness is a choice. God chose to be kind to me. I can choose to be kind to others. Be kind.
Mr. Page, you ready? Okay. What should we do for you?
Yes, sir. No, you sit right here. Let's go put you right here.
Oh, hold on, Mom. I love it.
Tonight we're going to Philippians 4:13 tonight. What that says there is, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So what that means there is, if you are in a very, very, very hard time, God can help you if you just pray. Is he can help you. So when Adam and Eve took the fruit of good and evil, they got less strength. But when they were in the Battle of Jericho, God gave them a lot of strength. So when if you forget, go to Philippians 4:13.
Thank you for coming out and watching us preach. And today we're first going to go to Luke 11:21. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor, wherein he trusted and desired his soul. And what he's talking about is that is how Satan's power may be great, but God's is always stronger, and God can help you when you have your spiritual armor on. Now, if you have your Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians 6:7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. What it's talking about is your spiritual armor is righteous and holy. Now, please turn to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take ye unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where ye be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What it's talking about is you need to put your spiritual armor on every day. Not just, well, it says that above all, that the shield is above all. So I'll just take the shield today. You need to have it on, all of it. Now, there are three things to remember from these verses. One, God can help you defeat Satan if you have your armor on. Two, your armor is righteous and holy. And three, you need to put on your armor on daily.
I think our last preacher is Levi.
So, I'm going to talk about Jesus' miracles. So, in Jesus' miracles, he helps people with their problems. With a blind man, Jesus helped him by making him see. With the 5,000, he helped by feeding them. With a deaf man, Jesus made him hear. And with a wedding, he turned water into wine. So, we're going to turn to these miracles. So, John 9:2-7. And And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work for works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clear the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. So with the blind man, God had made him blind so that the works of God would be shown. The disciples had the idea that his trouble was because of sin. In this case, God wanted to use it to show that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus healed the blind man to meet his need, and he's the work of the Father. Sometimes God puts us through hard times to help us or others grow. It isn't what we would want or ask for, but it is what we need. The hardship is used for his glory. And then next passage is John 6, 5 through 11. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down, now that there was so much grass in place. The men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. With the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sees that the people need to be fed. He also sees it as an opportunity to help his disciples' faith grow. Sometimes God gives us problems to show that he can handle them, even when we can't see a way that we can do it. He asked Philip where they could get the food to feed the multitude, to the disciples. This was a task that could not be done. Jesus uses what they have for the small things that seem insufficient to meet the needs of those around them. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that seems impossible. Often those times are there to show us that God is the only resource that we need. In Mark 7, 31 through 35. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his finger into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Epiphathos, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. With the deaf man, he was brought to Jesus by others who saw the man's needs, and knew that Jesus was the answer. The people that were around him took him to Jesus and asked Christ earnestly that he would lay his hand on the deaf man. In this case, Jesus did not do the miracle in front of everyone. He chose to take the man aside. Jesus healed him as they asked him, and in our own life, we can see our needs met because of the faithful who remember to ask God to help us when we need it. It might not happen in a way that everyone everyone, in a way that everyone see it happen, but results are hard to miss. The next passage is John 2, 1 through 11. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Contains 2 are free for consumption. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man of the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. With the miracle of the wine, Jesus asked to help the family hosting the wedding. His mother comes to him, knowing that Jesus can fix the problem. He responds to his mother that his time is not yet come, but Mary is not swayed by the answer. She instructs the servant to do as Jesus asks and believes that he will do the work that is necessary. Sometimes the answer is no at first with God. It should not discourage us. We must believe that if it is what is right for us, that God will do it. We may have to show that faith and continue to ask, believing that he will do it. With each of his miracles, we see God work in the lives of others. Jesus came to this earth to provide a way for us to go to heaven, and that is the greatest miracle of all. We need to remember that when we are going through hard times, he has a reason for it. He has a solution for it, and we need to ask and trust it. Him to do what is best for us and others around us.
Hey, good work. Good work, good work. Good job, young ladies. Thank you for singing. We will have I haven't figured out how to do it yet, but I'm going to engineer a girl's opportunity to be able to teach a Sunday school lesson, whether we do it in the morning during the Sunday school hour or do it somehow I'm going to get it done. I have to figure out all these things. That's what I get for being outside the box, man, is I got to somehow figure out how does this work and how to do it. But I've been taught you'll get what you emphasize. Yeah, that's what you get. You'll get what you emphasize. If you emphasize service and people growing and just, that's what you're going to get. You know, it's like you emphasize teaching and people have now to give them opportunity to teach, you get teachers. It's like, hey, and that's what we need. So the Bible says we need, you got to have servants, got to have them. Whether you're here for, you know, a year or 10 years or 20 years or whatever. So just, you know, we want to give people opportunity. Just a few minutes left tonight. We're going to go Romans 12 tonight. We're just looking at the first couple of verses here and look at the mind that God would have us to have. I'm just going to stay on this right here, Brother Randy. That one put on the Romans chapter 12 tonight. And we finished up in 11 last week. And I love Romans 12. And the first two verses get preached a lot, get preached in camps a lot. It's important. And a lot of times, every time you go through a passage like this, these first couple of verses, understand the servant of Christ is a mindset. You have to make up your mind to do it. Just like those of you tonight, you made up your mind, I'm going to do it. And then you probably went home and went, right? You know, what have I done, right? You know, what have I done, you know? But some of you have done it a couple of times. Like, Stephen, you've done it a couple of times now, right? I think this is the third one we've had. So you've done it a couple of times. I've done it a couple of times. It gets easier the more times you do it. But that first time, sometimes it's like, whoa, this is tough. And then you sit down and you're like, I did it. Number one, you survived, right? I'm still alive. Everybody loves me and it's great, right? But somewhere up here, you have to say, not just, I can do it, God, you can help me do it. And that's what I took away from tonight, from the message. God can help you to do it. We'll have a word of prayer and then we're going to read a couple of verses. Lord, we love you tonight. We do thank you for your grace. We thank you for working, Lord. We just pray that you continue to do that, Father, and you would help us, Lord, as we foster growth. And Lord, we see growth amongst our church and ask that you would bless it. Father, give us direction, Lord. Those who are older and able to go out and soon to go out and to serve. And we just pray for wisdom and direction. Lord, we love you. We pray that you bless your word tonight as we look at it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And verse 1, the apostle uses a word that only him and the Lord use in the New Testament. And that's the word beseech. You don't find a lot of people using it in the Bible. And this beseech is it's like a begging. It's, I'm begging you to do this thing. Would you consider this thing? Because God is merciful and he would allow you to serve him. Not that, oh, I'm good enough to serve God. No. From the other side, we were talking about Sunday school this morning. We are broken pots. We're broken people, right? He would let you serve him. All kinds of people aligning on this side and that side, hoping the president will pick me and make me the this of that and the this of that. And I was a good boy and I was a good girl. Oh, good. Oh, you're going to be the secretary of this and you're going to be, right? That they could be chosen to do it. Not, oh, hey, I'm good enough, or I've done this, or I got the qualifications. But that we could be chosen. God is merciful, and he allows us the opportunity to serve them. And Paul says, what we need to do is, here's your body. It's all you got. It's all you got. He said, we just present it to God, a living sacrifice. But here's sacrifice, and we, you know, we got our Fox Book of Martyrs or whatever, and all we think of is getting fed to a lion, and we're just like, oh, I'm just not, you know, I don't know anybody personally that I've met since I've had one yet, but it's happened, yes, okay, but he wants us to be a living sacrifice. In other words, you're living your life. You could be doing anything you want, but you've decided, God, I'll let you choose how my years here get spent. And that's the sacrifice. He says, I've given you life. Would you let me choose how you use it? And that's the choice. That's the choice everybody gets to make. And I can tell you, I've yet to meet somebody that has chosen and give it all to Jesus and say, oh, man, I just wish I wouldn't have. I just, you know, what a mistake it was. No. It's usually this. I wish I would have made that choice sooner. What could I have done sooner? You ever find anything good adults and you say, man, I wish, how come I didn't know about this sooner? How come I just wish I'd have known about this. This is amazing. You know, and you find these little tricks about how to do stuff. You're like, oh, that is unbelievable. This is, wish I'd have known it sooner. Not like, yeah, you know, I just blew it and I just can't believe I benefited so much from this and I just can't. No. You have to make that decision. My willing to be a sacrifice for God. The Bible says holy. That's the way God wants it to be. When he said, I want a sacrifice, I mean, you talk about discrimination, okay? I mean, that is like a bad word today. You discriminate. Don't read the Old Testament. you're going to be a priest. And God said, if you're this, 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 we don't got to go through them. And even short people, it's like, you're short, tired, you're out. It's like, what? You're against the short people, Lord. And I just thinking about, well, maybe he was trying to be kind because maybe some of the animals that were going to get sacrificed were big and it would be too hard for, I don't know. But he had a list. And what he has here for a list is real short. He says, I want to be holy. This is without sin. You can't live in sin and think, oh, sin's okay. You know, it's not really. It's okay. I'm saved. This sin's okay. And I want to serve. It doesn't work that way. It's confusion. There were preacher boys in the Old Testament that were in sin. They were living in sin. Samuel's sons, they were living in sin. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were living in sin, doing sin in the church. And people to the church, because they were doing wrong. You think they thought good of God? They're like, God, can you imagine? I mean, just be like, I want to go there. I want to worship. I'll do that. But I just can't stand that preacher. I can't stand those people because they do wrong. And they don't care. And God has removed them. God has removed them. And the Bible says a holy sacrifice and acceptable unto God. Right off the bat, God rejects sacrifice in the Bible. Because the Bible says Cain's countenance fell. That means you looked at him and he was angry. You see somebody's countenance fall, they hear news and he goes like this, and you just see their face and says, why is your countenance falling? He says, if you do good, he says, hey, all's well. But he says, if you don't do good, he says, sin lies at the door. There's something wrong. You're making the wrong choice. Wrong sacrifice. Not acceptable. Why? No blood in the turnip, right? Amen. No blood in the carrot. No blood in the potato. I don't know what he had. But his brother was offering a blood sacrifice. The Bible says it was accepted. And you can guarantee that Abel brought a good looking lamb. Whatever it was, lamb, whatever. It was perfect. You know it was. You know, because God accepted it. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. That's not what it's talking about. When it says acceptable, it says holy and accepted, Lord, as best I know how. Okay, I want to live according to how you want me to. Not what I think is good, but what you think is good. What you think is right. Acceptable. God will straighten you out. He straightens me out all the time. He will help you. Okay, there's nobody that says, well, you got to check this box and this box and this box. We can read the Word of God and see what is required of stewards and what's required of servants. We can see those things. But he says he wants the sacrifice, you, me, to be acceptable. Satan would make you believe you're trash. Can't be used. You can't be used. No, you can't be used. You're too this. You're too that. Not true. Not true. That's one of the biggest lies that's kept, who knows, preacher, how many servants out of serving God. Because they believe that, I can't do it. I can't do it. You young guys, you'll learn how to yell into this thing, okay? You'll say, I got something that I want everybody to hear. And they'll be like, whoa, we get it. Yeah, hey, amen. It's that message, right? It's God's word. We want them to hear it. Wonderful. We want them to do it. But man, how many people miss it because they believe a lie that I can't do it. You don't have the ability. We just heard tonight. Those that were lacking physically, God says, here you go. Now, would those people that God has helped use the rest of their life with a fixed body to glorify God? I love the disciples. You know, everybody's got to be hurt for a reason, right? Why is he blind? Man, his parents were sinners. That's why he's blind. He says, no, so I can get glory. Wow, that's messed up. That's crazy. And I know so many examples now. People, you use the word normal, not normal, whatever. They have some sort of malady. And they say, God, I am what I am. Just use me how I am. And God gets glory and all's well. Where other people look and like, oh, it's a shame they're this way. And, oh, you know, and people, if we would look, that God makes no mistakes. He makes none. Even if it's short. Somebody's life, they're like, oh, their life was so short. I mean, William Borden, he just got to the mission field and died. I mean, it's like he didn't even get the, his life is an inspiration to so many. I mean, the Bible, it talks about our life being like grass and like a flower. I mean, it's just there. It's gone. It's over. And we have to be willing. I say, God, I want that to be for you. Verse 2, and we're done. Be not conformed to this world, okay? We're born thinking like this world would have us to think. You're born that way. You're born that way. We're born into sin. You're born thinking of self. We're born thinking, how do I make things better for me? One of the rubs is when you say you're going to give your life to God, and you get this battle going on in your mind. You're going to whack. People aren't going to like you. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be this way. I'm not going to say some of those things. It's true, right? But you have to believe that God is sufficient. You have to believe that He will take care of you. Be not conformed, shaped to the image of. In Spanish, when we learn the prefix con, it means with form, shaping to. The Bible says, but be transformed. Changed from what you are now. Okay? All the young, this is a great camp verse, right? Everybody plays on the Transformers. Right? I think it was when we were kids. I don't know. More than meets the eye, right? It was a car, and then it was like the car man. It was a truck, and then it was the truck man, and they could do all this stuff. More than meets the eye, right? It transforms. And you can be like that if you'll make the decision. Lord, change the way I think. And that takes time. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another. It takes time to learn that. Oh, I know to be kind, but I still am not. Okay? Well, you know the verse, but we haven't learned to be kind, right? When you can be kind even when you don't want to be kind, that's like, oh, I'm starting to learn now. I'm going to, again, we said it was a choice, I'm going to choose to be kind. God said, oh, kind to me. Be kind to them. He didn't have to be kind to me. He chose to. So we want to be changed. We want to be changed from what we are, be a transformed. It says by the renewing of the mind. Your mind is so powerful. And it doesn't matter what the Apple people come out with every Christmas. The new phone is going to be $900. It can be God. Well, my grandkids, the Lord Cherry's phones are going to be like $5,000, and they're going to be the iPhone 26X. You know, and it's going to be, who knows what it's going to have and how small it's going to be or whatever. It doesn't matter. And it will never be as strong as this. Never. The mind is an amazing thing. But the mind can be healed if we think upon right things.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. You can, when somebody will just say, I'll have to have this and I'll have to have that, you'll just think on truth. Your mind will take that truth. And it will actually do some physical things in your mind to believe those things. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens, what God can do with the mind. It needs to be transformed. Truth. God is true. The Word of God is true. God never fails. God never lets His people down. God takes care of people. God will bring me through all things. God can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I can. Those are truths. And we start to think on those things, and we think on those things, and we think on those things. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says He thought, when He thought in His self, not thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the Bible says the word thought, it's a thought. You think on these things. Transformed by the renewing of the mind. Serve yourself! Do this! Do that! Do that! You want to make sure no matter what you do in this life, it is for the glory of God. Whether it is, no matter what line of work you go into, no matter what it is, that you are going to do it for the glory of God. That will change your mind. You go to college and say, well, what are you going to study? What are you going to study? We had a bunch of kids. They're in the class below me. They're all pharmacist-minded people. All went in pharmacy. Went to school. Went to Washington State. They're all pharmacists now. Pharmacists make a lot of money. And I was just like, they were just kids. I was like, we were all kids. In the mindset. But some of them, I'll be a pharmacist. I want to make a ton of money. Okay, well, what's a ton of money, 2,000 pounds worth? I mean, like, what's a ton of money? Like, what? And you'll chase all that, and you'll never get there. It's just a thought. It's just out there. It's never. The Bible says we have set our eyes upon that which is not. Solomon says, well, it's just up and gone. Or are we going to serve God? The Bible says those things will last forever and ever and ever. One more thought, we're done tonight. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? When I was young, I remember that by the gap. Okay? Good, acceptable, and perfect. That's how I kept the words in order. I said up the gap. GAP. Good, acceptable, and it's perfect will of God. You're not going to can I use you real quick, Maddie? Okay. Madison were talking about stuff, and Madison, pray for Madison, right? It's like, you got, get done with school. What do you do? How do you know? How do you know these things, right? I mean, that's just the way that is. She's not gonna go and just find the, her next place that day, the place of employment. She's gonna be a teacher, right? God's gonna use her to be a great teacher. And there's gonna be these lights over it, and there's gonna be a star over it, just like the manger. Just like the manger! This is in the Bible! It's gonna be a star over this thing, you know? How do I know? You know, that's tough. It's like, parents, you know, parents, preachers, it's like, how do you know? It's like, well, you know, let's ask the Lord. Let's ask the Lord, right? And as you go and you take the steps that God shows you to take, okay, and you say, well, I know for today, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know for today, this is what I'm supposed to do. I know for today, this is what I'm supposed to do. Pretty soon you got 4 or 5 days lined up there. And then pretty soon you got a week. And then you got 2 weeks. And I've been following God for a month. I've been in school for a month. This is exciting. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to be here because then 5 years down the road, I'm going to be in the right. You don't know that. You got to trust him every day. And that's what it is. So when we find the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, say, oh, just show me where it's at, and I'll just break off the knob, and we'll be set, and I'll just stay there. It doesn't work that way. You have to check in all the time. All the time. Why did Jesus leave? Why did he go here, and then he go here, and then? Because God had a will. God had a will. I heard a preacher one time that will be done. There at a preacher's conference, everybody stand up. Oh, brother so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, and so there, and this church, and brother, oh, it's a great church, brother so-and-so. And he's they're standing up, this little preacher gets up. Where are you from, preacher? And I'm from this little tiny town. Some guy laughs up front. Why would you ever go there? And this little voice said, you ever hear of the will of God? Like, oh, okay, right? It's not about being recognized and being, it's about the will of God. Let's stand tonight and we'll sing a song of invitation. Brother Joe, I got 276 here. 276, where he leads me must be leadable. You don't want to be the Christian digging your heels in. Oh, God, I'll serve you. And then we dig our heels in. Give God sway. Let him move in your life. Let him transform your mind. We'll sing tonight, 276. Altar's open to pray. I can hear my prayer.